We don't know anything about rugby, don't talk.
Cregan. Drop goal from Larkham.
It's Australian 3-4. They've got the advantage.
Worst press conference. Well done, boys.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Gagger Teams Pod for the week. I'm the happy man. Sully and Carl are with me tonight to go through the teams for the week and what's on our minds. Evening, Sully. How are you going?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. I've been an interesting week, but it's good to be back.
Carl, feels like you're coming off the bench. Back in it.
Yeah, good to be back, guys. I'm sorry about last week. Work got in the way, but that happens sometimes. But sitting here drinking a nice little lard beer and having a bit of banter, I'm looking forward to it.
Good, good. Look, once again, thanks everyone for your support. Please don't forget to download, subscribe, rate, and review on all the platforms. It really helps us build up the pod into what it can be, and helps us get a few more viewers and hit those algorithms. Just to outline what we've got ahead tonight. Today we're going to run through the teams for the week, upcoming clashes, make our fearless predictions, discuss the topics that grabbed our attention, and finish with a bit of a shouting at clouds message. But first, highlights of the week, Sully. What floated your boat this week?
Oh, mate, like, to tell the truth, my migraine last week, like, stuffed my week up, and I didn't watch a lot of rugby over the weekend, but I did catch, wasn't the greatest game, but, and it was the Waratahs, so you can't get too excited, but the Waratahs sneaking in that win. And you know how much I love sudden death, extra time, but that win from the Waratahs, yes, that was my highlight of the week.
Yeah, certainly. You can't complain about 80 points being scored. You know, obviously people are making some mistakes, but it certainly made it exciting. I think there were 12 lead changes in that game. Carl, how about you? Your highlight?
Well,
I think I know where we're going with this.
Yeah, obviously being a totally biased Canes supporter, my support was the Canes beating the Chiefs. It's interesting with the Highlanders game there, Scully, because I was actually quite disappointed in that game, mainly because I thought there were so many mistakes made by both teams in defence. To me, both teams demonstrated exactly why they are where they are on the ladder. It was just a poor display of rugby with some poor skills and some poor decisions. But maybe I'm being a little bit harsh. Certainly the highlight was the Hurricanes. But
mate, I didn't have a lot to choose from. I had the slow motion train crash that it's the Reds at the moment.
Yep.
And that game, and I missed Saturday completely. So, I mean, that was my highlight.
I was thinking about winding up a whole lot of people with it and saying that my highlight was watching fucking Tate getting a red card, but I didn't want to be nasty this early in the night.
Mate, I was thinking during the week before that game that how good are the Reds going? No cards, you know, low penalty count, and then bang, you know.
They heard you, mate. They heard you.
Yes. Two reds, yeah. Two suspensions.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah. But as I said earlier, every time a game of rugby threatened to break out, the TMO and the ref had a very big say in it. So you know, hang on a minute, boys. There's about to be a game of rugby here. Let's just stop that.
Actually, a fair bit of truth in that there, Happy Man. I think you're right. I think I don't think the referee and the TMO got it right in that game, but there you go.
Yeah, but hey, that's rugby. Let's head on for the games of the week, gents. First
hang
game.
On, mate. Hold on. What was your highlight, Happy?
Mate, look, I had a lovely Saturday down at my local community rugby game, watching that. Beautiful day in Brisbane, good running rugby, watched about three grades. It was just cheap, beer was cheap, and it was a great day. So what more can you want out of life?
Absolutely.
Yeah. This week's games, let's get stuck in. The Drua versus the Canes in Fiji. Apparently it's going to be typical Fijian weather, a bit hot and a bit wet. Simone Kuravuli comes in at halfback for Frank Lomani, who's still out. I see that the Drua have actually signed Moses Sarobi as cover for their suspended halfback, and Sikeli Rabatou comes into the halves. Kimi Valentini, Rob Valentini's brother, starts at inside centre. For the Canes, we've got Aiden Morgan at fly half in for Brad Cameron. Josh Morby moves to fullback. Reuben Love moves to back to the bench, allowing Salisi Oreasi to return to the left wing. Tavidi Mafaleo, James O'Reilly, and Pasilo Tosi come on to the in for the front row, which means they've got Asafa Amua coming off the bench. Just a little lightweight bench action there. Nice game. Carl, tell me why your Canes are going to win this one.
Yep. Look, I think in Fiji it's always hard, and everyone knows that. If the Canes don't get suckered into playing Fiji rugby and they play their game, then I think they've got this quite comfortably. I think man for man, they are playing a lot better. Interesting with Morgan coming in at fly half for Cameron. I think Morgan is actually pushing the fly half role for the AB, so I think it'll be really good to see how he goes this week with Perenara inside him, giving him some good ball. But I think that the Canes' biggest challenge is going to be keeping it tight and playing their game and not getting suckered into the Fiji running flying rugby. And if they manage that, then I think they'll win convincingly. If they get suckered into the Fijian game, then because I'm a completely biased one-eyed Kane supporter, they'll still win, but it'll be harder.
Sally, tell him why he's wrong.
Not going to go against Carl on this, mate.
You learn your lesson from last week? Oh, you didn't pick last
I
week.
didn't pick last week. I got no, mate. If anyone can beat Fiji in Fiji, it's the Hurricanes, mate. Like they've just been like a steam train this year. I know. I mean, you know that they can move players around and still be very competitive. And no, I just can't see what's the time. What's the local time in Fiji? 5:05 p.m. here. Is that the same time zone as New Zealand? So it'd be 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
About 2 hours difference, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's about a 3 p.m. kickoff, so it'll be
Yeah.
just in time for the Storms. So, no, mate, I can't get past the Hurricanes for this. I think I'm, and now that I've picked the Hurricanes, mate, the Fiji Endura are favourites, I think. But that's how it goes with my picking. But no, the Hurricanes are on a roll, mate, and I know we're saying before the podcast that I'm waiting for the Hurricanes to have their bad games, but I don't think it's going to be this week. I think they'll keep going, and they're red hot favourites for the whole thing now. I'm pretty sure that you couldn't say anything else. No, Hurricanes for me.
Yeah, look, I've picked the Drua, and I basically because, yes, I know. Basically because I think the Drua are 30 points better at home than they are away. I think we all recognise that. The loss of Lomani really does hurt them. They've played a lot of ball off nine this year, and you just wonder how that'll having to replace him will work in. But they are at home. But the Canes have to have it off week. They've obviously got a very deep squad and a lot of internal pressure that's keeping their squad motivated, because I think it's a position they're in that lovely position where if you're not playing well, training well, you could be out of the 23 like that and you may not get back in. So, but I just think the Drua at home, I think they'll rise to the occasion. And the Canes have probably got a fair bit of emotional energy spent beating the Chiefs last week. So that's where I'm going with that one. Next game, Reds v the Highlanders. Again, it's the Friday night game, 7:35 p.m. The Reds, Tom Lynher is in for Harry McLaughlin Phillips. Alec Hodgman starts at loose head. Cormac Daly comes into the row for Seru Uru, who looks like he's broken his thumb and is out for 6 weeks. It's a real shame for him. John Bryant comes in at open side. Good young player, Kalani Thomas, earns his first start for the season due to Tate's little head explosion. With Louis Wirch on his backup, I think Kalani Thomas can expect a fair bit of game time. Josh Fluke, who's probably been Australia's form 13 this year, has a shoulder complaint, and Jordan Pitaia shifts to 13. Matt Greely goes to the bench, and Seth Bargatze comes onto the bench while Nongora has a rest. And if anyone watched the Sunnybank the West's game. You'll see why Seth Vargassi got back straight back in. He was on a Farmacilli in a club game last week and fed it to him. Sully, tell me why the Reds are going to win this one.
Oh, sorry, mate. You're going to go through the
You there, Sully?
Highlanders players, or are you just going
Oh, sorry. Highlanders. Pfft, might as well.
to?
The Highlanders, James Ascot and Cameron Miller, the new halves combo. Connor Goud and Bishop has been promoted to start at fullback. That's their only changes. I do know for a fact that the Highlanders have been on the Gold Coast all week as well. Sully?
Well, the Gold Coast is a death trap for visiting teams, mate. It just kills you. Mate, Tom Lynon's our best fly half at the moment. Harry McLaughlin Phillips right up his butt. I'm a bit concerned that young I've gone blank on his name. Give me a second. Like Lawson Crichton still got his bench spot. I'd love to see Lynon and McLaughlin Phillips swapping the 10 role, but I know that Crichton's more flexible as a reserve than both Lynon and McLaughlin Phillip. Rather than seeing Hodgman and Tuomaga Allen start at props, Cormac Daly's nowhere near as good around the field as Sirua Eru, but he's a bigger body. Where we fall down, I think, a bit, Kalani Thomas has got a good pass, but he's not as vibrant as Tate McDermott at halfback. And Jordan Bataille had to slot into his third position for the season in an outside centre, which is a bit worrying. And I don't think it's his best position. So the Reds have to win this game to keep their season on track. I mean, I've been describing the last three games as a slow motion train derailment, and something has to change. And the changes that have been forced onto the Reds may be a good thing, but losing McDermott and McWright, to maybe the two most important players in the team, is probably not the changes you want to make. But And Fluke, sorry, that's probably the three most important players in the team. So the Reds need to win this. If they lose this, they're struggling to stay in the eight. They're looking at bottom half. They're looking at six, seven, eight, trying to stay in and fighting against the bottom half of the top of the finals. So I don't know. Reds at home. Yes, Reds win this. Who knows by how much? There's a lot of changes in the team this week. So it's the consistency is just not there. Carl, what do
Carl.
you think?
Yeah, good points there, Sully. And I think for the Highlanders, they're in a similar situation. They've lost games that early on in the season they thought they should have won. They've made some pretty critical changes too. I noticed that Fakatava has been dropped, so which I think is a bit of a shame. I see Fakatava as almost being the next one up from Aaron Smith. I think he was under Aaron Smith, he was learning a lot. But for some reason, he's gone off his game a bit this year, so I can see why he has been dropped. I think the Reds are there for the Highlanders taking this weekend. I think there's so many changes in the Reds, and I'm with you. I think Pataia shifting to 13 is an issue. I don't think he's a very good 13 as well. I don't think he's got either the distribution skills to open up the space for the wingers and fullback that he needs to have at 13. And I'm not sure that he's got the rugby nous to organise the defence in a way that you want the 13 to do it. And then again with Vinavaku out on the Vinavalu, sorry, out on the wing, who I honestly can't see how he holds his place in this level of rugby anyway, because to me, I think he'd struggle to be a club first bloody 15, but there you go. I'm going to pick the Highlanders because I think that the changes to the Highlanders are less of an issue for them than they are for the Reds. I think that there's just too many changes in the Reds. There's not enough cohesion, and they've lost some very good players, and the players who are coming up, I just don't think have got what's needed. But, I guess we'll see on Friday.
I was surprised with the outs for the Reds at how good a team it was on paper. I'm just concerned with the combinations.
Yeah.
Yep. Look, obviously I'm rusted on Reds till I die, but keeping on following them, it might be soon. I would suggest that the Reds this year, I think, have actually played to the level of their opposition. They lost in Golden Point to the Canes, had a really good game against the Brumbies, two very good teams, and they've beaten quality teams this year. Then they've played the Force and Moana, and respectfully played to their level. They didn't establish their own game, and they didn't have their standard that this is where we play at, and you can't live with that. So they play to where the opposition is. If the opposition is at a lower level, they play like garbage, and that's what they did last week. They played like garbage against average opposition. That's actually
a valid point, mate. I think you make a valid point there. And to me, that comes down to their leadership in the team, because you know, it's the players in the team that set that. It's not the coach and the assistant coaches. Once you're on the field, it's the actual leadership on the team that sets that. So, you know, maybe Tate having a rest and McWright having a rest, we might actually see less of that, which could be a good thing.
Yeah, and it was interesting. I was thinking about the same thing with your Canes this week. By any stretch, Adi Sevilla is best one or two players on the planet. You know, he's in that top five conversation of best players on the planet. But they've gotten better without him, so it's addition by subtraction, because all the other guys have actually gone, oh, I've got to do all the stuff that he does.
Yep, absolutely.
So they're in a position where if he came back into the team, would he make them better?
Good question.
Doesn't make many teams worse, but
it is
a thing.
No, that's a valid question. You know, the players know they have to step up. And I think sometimes maybe that's the same with McWright and Tate. You know, some of the players are saying, oh, well, let's just leave it to them. And then if they don't quite get right, it doesn't happen. So, a good point,
Tate. The Reds earlier this year had a very, very good maul, and I don't think I've seen them try to maul in any case at any point in the game for the last 3 weeks. So they probably need to go back to their base game and then work forward from there. But anyway, next one up, game of the round, no doubt about this, Brumbies and Blues at Eden Park. For the Blues, Funaki and Plummer start their second game in the halves. Patrick Tuipulotu is back from concussion. Mark Talia is on the wing. Brumbies have Ryan Lonergan at halfback and Jerome Brown starting at open side flanker. Carl, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you, mate. This is this is going to be the game of the round. I think Blues being at Eden Park gives them a bit of an advantage over the Brumbies. I'm not a huge fan of either of the Iones. I think.
Really? I haven't been able to tell that over the years.
Yeah. I think Akira Ione goes missing in games like this because he looks good against weak players, but when the game gets hard, he seems to disappear rather than get hard. And I still don't think Rico's got the distribution that a 13 needs, although he is certainly getting better. It's going to be an interesting game. You know, I like Ryan Lonergan. I think Ryan Lonergan is an awesome halfback, and I think that the combination he has with Alessio is actually very, very good for both players, and both players are stepping up in a way this year that they haven't been able to previously. So I think they'll go really well. I think though that Blues at home, I think will probably be enough to take this, but I can't see more than about a 3 or 4 point difference either way.
Sully, how about you? What do you think?
Mate, I've always had a soft spot for the Blues, and I think Blues at home is enough to take this. I agree with everything Carl said about Lonergan and Melissio. I think both their games have gone to a higher level this year, so I'm loving that. I'm a bit concerned about my prediction with the Brumbies bench. It's got like Blake Shute, Nick Frost, Tom Hooper, and Luke Reimer on it. That's a pretty good tail end from those guys. So it's going to be close, I think. But any game with the Brumbies, they're just going to grind you down and try and work you in the last 20 minutes of the match and spit you out the back end of things. So I'm going to say it's just going to be one score in this. It's going to be close. It's going to be bloody interesting. Yeah, it'd be great to watch, I think. It's going to, yeah. Blues by not very much for me.
Yeah, ditto. I think I think I'd probably I think the Brumbies are due against the Blues. I think it'll be one of those games though where it'll be a one score, one moment, and you'll just sit there going, well, that was it. In the between the 65th and 75th minute, there'll be something happen, or it might be the 78th minute, just something happens and that's the difference. I expect a real intensity about this game because the winner of this game probably finishes top two.
Are we
I just
concerned
think that.
all? Sorry, mate. Are we concerned all about Christie and Perrefetta being out of this?
I'm not. I'm not a huge fan of either of those two. I think that last year Beauden Barrett didn't have a very good year, but I think the reason he didn't have a very good year was because of Christie inside him and fucking RTS outside him. So I don't think anyone could have a good game at bloody first five with those two either side. So I don't think that's going to be a huge issue, and I don't think it's going to be negative for the Blues. But yeah, I guess we'll see. I tell you, one person I am really looking forward to seeing is how Charlie Cowell goes. I really like him. I think that some of the things he's done for the Brumbies and the way he plays, he reminds me a hell of a lot of Kieran Reid. And if he steps up, he could be a difference. But no, I those two guys missing don't concern me too much because I don't think they deserve some of the accolades they get at times.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
Sweet.
it'll certainly be quality. I will be watching that one on delay because I will be out and about at that point.
Fair enough, too.
Saturday, the 20th, last game of the weekend will be the Force and the Satyrs. HBF Park, 7:35. For the Force, we've got Will Harrison's will start at blindside. Just hurts me to say this. Curtly Beale will be at fullback. Santiago Medrano will start at tight head. Isaac Rodder on the bench. For the Satyrs, Joe, they've rotated their front row with Joe Moody and Owen Franks to start and Brodie McCullister at hooker. What do you think, boys? Carl, you go
Zimmerman.
first.
Okay, interesting. Crusaders have had a really bad year. I don't know what the hell Penny's doing, and obviously his coaching team, but they seem to have lost that cohesion and some of the brain thinking that they've had in the past. I still think they're good enough to take the Force. I'm not sure that the Force at home necessarily get a lot of benefits being at home that some of the other teams do. But at the same time, they're at home. It probably is a little bit of a benefit. It'd be interesting to see how Beale goes at fullback. Personally, I obviously, if you've seen through the years, I don't rate him at all. If he starts running in and taking over the first five like he used to do for the Waratahs, then I think the force are stuffed, because he is absolute crap at that role. He is dangerous in space, and if he sits at fullback and finds space and takes that space, he could play really well. But I think the Crusaders, with Joe Moody, Owen Frank starting, I think they're going to come out with a hiss and a roar. I think they're going to start tightening things up, and I think the Crusaders will have this by about 10.
Carl, what do you think?
Scully.
Sully, what do you think?
No, Carl, tell us again.
You don't listen to bullshit twice, mate.
Interesting. I was listening to Brett McKay's podcast today, the 8-9, and they had one of those, one of the guys, I can't remember his name, who talks about combinations and growing teams. And he was talking
Ben
about
Darwin.
Sorry?
They had Ben Darwin on.
No, it was another guy. I can't remember his name. I was trying to pretend to work and listen to the podcast at the same time. But he was saying the Crusaders have had a double blow, where they've lost a lot of top of their older players, but they've also lost a lot of their coaching staff and S&C staff and everything at the same time. So they've lost and they're building basically from scratch without a lot of their IP. So Rob Penny's sort of copped them at a bad time, basically. But yeah, I don't think the force is going to have too much advantage at home, and I think the Crusaders are coming good. So I'm interesting to see the old men starting in the front row. But I mean, if two guys know how to do front row stuff, it's those two guys, isn't it?
100%.
And another old guy, Ryan Cotty, on the bench for experience at the tail end. Mate, I'm going to go with the Crusaders for this, because I love an underdog, and Crusaders are all of a sudden become an underdog. So yep, Crusaders.
And you wouldn't have thought that this time last year that they'd be an underdog this year, would you?
No. Look, Ethan Blackburn's back. I think. Mate, and Sever Reese, mate, how good has he been playing? Like, he's like carrying that team just about as a winger. No,
yes, the Curly Beale of New Zealand rugby.
I think there's enough in that Crusaders team to get him over this. On this, I think.
Yeah. Look, I'm just basking in the Saders having a bad year. Having said that, I don't think Rob Penny's a poor coach. He's, to your point, he's gotten the perfect storm of bad things happening to him. Carl, you'd be across the subject a bit better, but I think two of their assistants went to the All Blacks last year, as well as obviously the head coach this year. So they've lost all that backroom staff. And I did see a tile earlier in the season where they were playing, I think it was against the Chiefs, or it might have been the game before, where of the 23 who started in the final last year, there was like one or two people in the squad this year, like in the match day 23. So they've just got no continuity. They're just paying the injury gods. They're paying all these things that they've been avoiding for the last few years. So that's part of the reason they've been struggling. I'm going to take the force. I've just been contrarian, much like the Drua. I think they're a much better side at home. They've got the sea of blue behind them. It will be a good crowd. I just like the force. I think Ben Donaldson at fly half's been playing. He's probably should be in the conversation for getting in the Wallabies later in the year. He's been playing some quality rugby.
Sorry, mate. That guy was Simon Strawn on the 8-9 combo rugby podcast. It's well worth a listen.
Okay, I might give it a crack tomorrow. Yeah. So they've got Isaac Rodder coming back to the bench. So they've got some troops coming back. I just I just want to see a bit more paint on the Satyrs, to be honest. If as Lee Matthews once said, if it bleeds, you can kill it. It's bleeding at the moment. Kill it, kill it, kill it. So there you go. Quickly, let's touch on the women's games for the weekend, gents. The semi-finals of the Super Rugby Women's. We've got the Tars v the Brumbies. The Tars are undefeated. Brumbies finished fourth, dropped a couple of games. And then we've got the Drua and the Force in Fiji. I'm going to pick the Tars. I got a perfect result last week. I picked the Rebels to win, and they got home for me. Well done, ladies. But I'm going to go for the Tars because I just think they're by far and away. It's the Tars Invitational. This competition, until proven otherwise, the Tars will beat the Brumbies, and I think the Force will beat the Drua, but then lose next week. It'll be their grand final. Gents, what do you think, Sally?
I'm with you, mate. I think the Tars are going to win. They haven't lost a game all year. They're playing some really, really good rugby. They've got some great combinations, and they've got a lot of girls who are making some really smart decisions in critical time. So I think they absolutely have this. The Drua are good at home, but I don't think the Drua women's have the same advantage that the Drua men's team have at home. And I think the Rebels, if they tighten up, I agree with you. If they tighten up their game, then I think they'll take this as well. But I think, like you, I think the Tars will win the following week in the final. But yeah, no, some good games there, and it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Quality certainly improved over the last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The Reds finished last time. They were in the grand final last year. I don't think they've necessarily gotten worse. I think everyone else has gotten better.
Yeah, that's a valid point.
Sully, where are you at?
Oh, mate, you need to leave me out of it this week for the women's. I missed it all totally.
Oh,
Sorry.
you misogynistic
Sorry, Andy.
bastard, Scully.
Oh, we'll get him cancelled eventually, Carl. Okay, now for our regular scheduled program, let's get back to it. Shouting at clouds, Carl. What pissed you off for the week? Have a go.
The thing that pissed me off the most last week was the individual poor skills and decision making by the Crusaders and the Waratahs that actually created quite a cool game to watch. But from a technical perspective, looking at people who want to try and push themselves up to that next level, I was actually very disappointed with what I saw. So that's the thing that pissed me off more. One of the things that disappointed me, and you brought it up earlier about, the referee stopping a good game from happening with the Reds. I think that the way the TMO has been used this year has been really good, and perhaps that game let it down a little bit. So let's hope that they go back to where they've been previously, and the TMO is only used when he's needed or she's needed, not, interfering with the game. So that's mine.
Sully.
Oh, mate, I'm going to have a talk about refereeing as well. So, Carl, you can tell me if I'm wrong about this, but I've got a little complaint about advantages. So it's not how not I'm not I don't have a complaint about advantages, but it's the length of advantages. So we're going to go back 2 weeks. So I've been holding on this for 2 weeks, guys. So bear with me.
Here comes
Go,
the
mate.
plane from a long run up.
I think it was the Chief Moana Pacifica game, and there was a scrum 15 meters in the Chiefs' side of the field, Chiefs' feed. Chiefs won a scrum penalty. All good. The Chiefs ran a full backline move and chip kick, and Moana Pacifica caught the ball 3 meters outside their 22 meter line. The referee blew up the game for the penalty and marched the teams 40 meters back for the scrum penalty. Now tell me, is that not advantage? I mean, you've played your backline move, you've run the ball 20 meters and chipped it another 20 meters, surely you've got advantage.
The reason to be honest, I agree with you, and I think sometimes we should really look at advantage, because the idea behind advantage is that to gain advantage, it has to be either technical or territorial. So, if you have a knock-on advantage, as soon as your first five passes the ball, that's what would have happened in a scrum, so therefore advantage is over. The problem you have with a penalty advantage is that the referee has to consider if the team with that penalty kicked the ball, how far downfield would it go where they would get the advantage of throwing the ball into the line out? So they kick the ball, Moana gets the ball, they kick the ball back. If Now, I agree with you in that instance. I think it probably was a little bit far, but part of the reasoning is that if Moana kicked the ball and the line out that the Chiefs get is then, yes, they've got the advantage of throwing the ball in, but it's 20, 30 meters further back than they would have had where they kicked the penalty, then they haven't actually gained advantage from having the penalty. But in saying that, it's one of those ones that the referee, I think at times, and I think it's a law. I personally would like to see a change to the law where the advantage, the technical or technical advantage, has to happen in three plays or four plays or five plays maximum, and then it's gone, because I think that it does go on too long. But if you think about it, Moana gets the ball, they kick it out. The ball goes to the 22. It's then the Chiefs throw-in. But if they'd kicked the ball from the penalty, it would have been at halfway in their throw-in. So they haven't actually gained any advantage. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying that's the sort of process that goes through in thinking about
I think
it.
in this case, so the scrum was 5 meters off the sideline, 15 meters in Chiefs side. So from the penalty from the scrum, the lineup would have been around halfway, between halfway and 10 meter line probably. If the Moana guy kicked the ball out, it would have been between halfway, because he was like 5 to 10 meters in on the other side of the field. So it would have been about the same spot, same result, Chiefs throw in.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That one is one that probably went a little bit too far. It is hard because you have to think, it's a penalty advantage. How far can they kick? When they'll get the line out?
The,
I think
it
we need
was,
something.
it was put to me this way when I did way back when I did my Spark Rugby course, and the referee, one of the referees guys said to me, he said, advantage should be over when you look at it and say, if I was the captain of the team who had advantage, where would I rather be? 40 meters down there or back here? And if the answer to that question is down there, then it's advantage over. To your point, Sully, during the Reds game, and it just about had me throwing my wine at the TV. The Moana generated a penalty advantage 40 metres out, ended up knocking the ball on, or something happened, but the ball was in the in goal area. For God's sake, penalty advantage is over, and that's to my point. A game of rugby nearly broke out. Like you're just killing, slowing it down, making it less enjoyable, and it's not even trying. That's not even changing the game. That's just getting on with it.
Well, what's your thoughts on that, Carl? If the team with the advantage gets the ball over the goal line and knocks on or gets held up, surely that's an advantage. Over.
Look,
It
advantage.
depends where it is, mate. If it's 5 meters out, then you
Yeah,
go back for thing. But if it's, I think it's 40 meters,
I think
guys,
surely you've
you've
shot
had
your
a
shot.
shot, you've had a crack.
Yeah.
The thing with advantage, it's one of those things. Look, and I've written about it in some of my blogs where I said, like 60% of a decision made by a referee is subjective. To be honest, I think it's higher. I think it's closer to 70 or 80%, and a referee's experience and a referee's bias will always come into play about how they make that decision. So, when I'm refereeing, I probably give less advantage than other referees because that's just how I am. And I think, yeah, that you know, you've had enough. You've taken your chance. You've lost it. Crack on with the game. I've been pulled up by some of my referee coaches who told me that I have cut the advantage too short. But then I agree with you, Sully, because, well, how many plays do you do it? And that's where I think that the problem with advantage at the moment is it's based on territorial or tactical advantage only. And I think they should almost bring in a new law that says advantage is territorial or tactical, but ends after five plays. So if you've played the ball five times, like you've passed it five times, it's been five pick and goes or whatever, regardless of whether you have tactical or territorial advantage, you've had your chance, fuck off and carry on with the game. But I think we're a long way from those sorts of decisions, unfortunately.
Just a final thing. And again, that's what makes certain referees very good and others poor, is certain referees have nuance for the game and want to make it flow. I think at certain times, less is more. And good, really good referees understand that.
Yeah.
Particularly those ones that are at their peak, which I think is, you know, Bock at the moment. You know, Nick Berry's in good form. But
it's an interesting thing. Hey? I had a chat with a guy last weekend. I did a referee, and I refereed a team that I've refereed a few times before. And I was talking to the coach before the game, and he was giving me shit about my age and how long I've been refereeing, because, you know, 64 years old, and I've been refereeing for about fucking 15 years now. He was giving me a bit of shit, and I said, "Yeah, you're right, but there's a lot of young referees coming through, which is good. But one of the things the young referees lack is that feel from the game, having played it." You know, I started playing when I was 6 years old. I stopped playing rugby when I was about 47, 48 years old. And the main reason I stopped, unlike Nutter, was because I realised I couldn't play at the level that I wanted to play when I was playing senior rugby. And so I was getting frustrated with myself. But I think one of the problems with a lot of the young guys coming through who haven't actually played a lot of rugby is that they lose a little bit of feel for the game, and they become a lot more technical in their refereeing. And I think sometimes that's a little bit stop-start and affects the game. But I guess we'll see how that develops.
Yeah, can do. Okay, gents. I think that just about sorts us out for the day. What do you think?
I'd just like to add something, mate. We all live on the blog side of the of our website. And just want to add that everything we talk about on here, on the forum side, there's threads that we talk about these games for the whole week before the match. So if you just go to Greeting Rolled Rugby and click on the forum tab, you can wang on about this thing for days, all the matches. So just go there, mate. If you're interested in talking to people who love talking about rugby, you can go there and talk about it.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Good point, Scully.
And you can pick up some really good content out of the forums as well about people who post various interviews and articles that are in some of the dark spots of the web. right, gents. Thanks
about
for
rugby.
About rugby. About rugby.
I'm starting to worry there, and some of the way the blog went today does worry me a little bit, but we won't go there.
Exactly. It's a broad church. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you for your support. Please download, rate, provide, subscribe, review, and do all those wonderful things on all your platforms to help us get the algorithm going. That's your team's podcast for the week. Thanks very much, and enjoy your rugby. See ya.
Cheers, guys.
If you don't know anything about rugby, don't talk.
Regan. Drop goal from Larkham.
It's Australian 3-4. They've got the advantage.
Worst press conference. Well done, boys.